102.3 WBAB, Long Island's number one rock station. Roger and JP with Jackie the Junkman Martling. You know, everybody imitates you that way. It's so great.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody imitates the imitation.
What we were talking, you're worse than me. I'm old. At least I got an excuse. I'll be talking about something in the middle of the sentence. I'll go, and our point was what? You know?
Are you still in Bayville?
I'm still in Bayville, and I love Bayville. I swam before I came today. It's
like your routine, huh?
It's heaven on earth. And
I took a hunting class at that Bayville hunting and fishing club.
The Rod and Gun Club.
How the hell do they have that piece of property? It's like a little tiny shack on the most beautiful piece of property you've ever seen. Property alone has got to be worth millions of dollars.
It was willed to them by a very, very, there's so many incredibly wealthy people in that area, and they're so fun. And Bayville's so great, Oyster Bay's so great, because you can be at the bar standing next to a gazillionaire on one side and a clam digger on the other side and an unemployed guy on the other side, and you can't tell by how funny they are who's who.
Right.
And it's just...
That's a good place to live.
It's just a delightful, delightful joint. And
remember the good old days when Billy Joel was driving into people's houses over there?
I told... You know, he lives down the street. You know, he's a great character. And I told people have been getting drunk, doing drugs, and getting high on the North Shore of Long Island for hundreds of years. And nobody has hit a house. And he did it on a Sunday afternoon. The man's in a class by himself. It's so wrong to say, because he's such a nice guy. Yeah, and he's done so much good for so many people. Yeah. And he's a wonderful local celebrity. Yeah. And...
He is, but don't you want to just look at him? Like, he just knocked his chick up. He's like 60-something years old, 67 years old.
He didn't knock a chick up. He's with this he's with a beautiful girl, and they wanted to have a baby. Is it crazy? Yes, it's crazy. I'm 67. I haven't completely ruled out. I might get you pregnant.
Listen, here's my whole thing. And, you know, the Billy thing, and I know it's like sacrilegious to talk about Billy. You're 60 plus years. What is he? Is he like 65, 66 years old?
Something like that. He's 65,
right? That kid's he's going to be 90 at his kid's high school graduation.
But the kid's going to college, isn't he?
He sure is.
JP, 82.
In a helicopter. 82, he'll be 82. My bad.
Hey, and the way things are, you know, Billy could live to be 100. You know, I mean, the kid is going to have the greatest life. You know, sure, he'll never live to see his parents married. Because they'll be divorced in the third trimester.
Right.
But, you know, to each his own. I mean, I applaud it. Like, look at Tony Randall had a kid when he was 90.
Yeah.
You know.
Like real old.
And I'm sure that kid looked like him.
Wait.
You know.
Wait, what? He had a kid when he was how old?
No, he was like 72, 70-something. Yeah, Tony Randall had real late in life.
Who
the odd
cares?
Couple.
You know.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't. I had one with Tony Randall.
All your life, huh?
No.
Good for you.
No kids. I got a ridiculously... wonderful niece and nephew, Jessica and Brendan Dunn, that are just so great. My sister is the light of my life.
This is why you're so relaxed and happy. Is this what you're saying?
Hold on, I just got a message for you on Facebook.
They were asking about the Dirtiest Dozen.
Did Jackie ever get that $20 from his father for the BJ?
That's and that was one of my jokes on my first record. Daddy, can I have $20 for a BJ? He said, I don't know, son, are you any good? Which is just horrible. And Comedy's Dirtiest Dozen. It's in 1979. I told that joke in, you know,
what was Comedy's
eighth grade.
What's this Comedy's the Playboy thing?
It wasn't a Playboy thing. It was Comedy's Dirtiest Dozen. It was actually produced by Rick Messina, who is now Tim Allen's manager and made a gazillion dollars, Drew Carey's manager. Rick Messina was a bartender at the East Side Comedy Club. When I met Rick Messina, we did a show in Bethpage. Me and Richie produced the show at Bethpage. And Rick Messina and Tony Camacho, who's another producer, were the bartenders there. And they said, wow, this looks like fun. Comedy's Dirtiest Dozen, I think there's eight of us left. Bill Hicks is dead. John Fox is dead. Monty Hoffman, I think, passed away, and Otto and George passed away.
Oh, right. I remember
the 12
George.
Guys, Stephen Pearl, Thea Vidal, the 400-pound black chocolate kiss, Stephanie Hodge. I used to be able to rattle off.
Was it a big special or something?
It was. It was a film. I'm sure it's on pay-per-view. It was so great. It was... They filmed us in 7-minute film canisters. So what they did was they got the audience. It was at the Minetta Lane Theater in Greenwich Village, and Ben Creed was the guy that got the crowd going. No, he was the host. There was a guy that said to the crowd, "All right, let's get going. Here's Ben." They'd roll camera. Ben Creed would come on, introduce the act. The act would come on and do his 7 minutes, and then we'd break so they could change the canisters, okay? I was supposed to go on fourth. Messina calls me up and says, "Jackie, I'm putting Tim Allen on fourth. Nobody could close a show like you. Thanks." I was on 36th, okay? The guy got the crowd going. Here's Ben Creed, and Ben Creed says he is comedian number one. Change canister. All right, let's get going. Here's Ben Creed. Here's comedian number two. So one, two, three, four, five. I'm pacing upstairs. I got on at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Those poor bastards in the audience have been there for like 8 hours.
Right.
But it was so fun. It was the very fattest I'd ever been because at the time we had Ricciardi Ice Cream was a sponsor on the Stern Show, and they had put a cooler, a freezer, in our office. So me and Fred and Howard would sit there writing, and I would eat 3 pints of ice cream a day. So I weighed about, 230 pounds. But it's a killer movie. Otto and George are great. John Fox is great. It's the movie that Tim Allen went to the moon. Comedy's Dirtiest Dozen. Buy it online. It's a hidden treasure, and everybody's in it. Tim Allen, Bill Hicks. Otto and George, John Fox, it's all great. And I have the very last thing you hear in the movie. I tell John Fox a filthy joke. We're sitting on the back of the chairs after it's done. I tell a really, really great filthy joke. And as the film ends, you hear my laughter trickle off into the reverb.
It just keeps going.
It just keeps going. It never stopped.
Jackie Marley and Brokerage tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We'll finish up with Jackie, actually, coming up next right now. Ted has the roads.
They're kicking me out.
KB, Long Island's number one rock station, Roger and JP, 854. Sunny at 85 today. Jackie the Joke Man Martling at the Brokerage tomorrow night at 7. If you can get any tickets, he'll be there tomorrow night, and he's been hanging with us all morning.
The best married joke. The wife says, "Get out! Get out! Get out!" As her husband's walking out the door, she says, "I hope you die a slow, painful death." He turns and says, "Now you want me to stay?" The guy goes to the library and says, "Give me a book on suicide." The librarian says, "Like hell, you won't bring it back." Same. Fun. Stupid. The guy goes for a job interview, and the interviewer says, "What do you think is your biggest fault?" The guy says, "I think my biggest fault is my honesty." The interviewer says, "I don't think honesty is a fault." The guy says, "I don't give a crap what you think." Beautiful.
Hey, when you were doing Stern, did you ever get starstruck? Did you have any, like, the guys from The Who, like, any of the big bands?
Roger, no, I really didn't for the most part. I loved, I already knew Sam Kennison when he came in, and it was just so exciting, to meet Leslie West and become friends with Leslie West and Joe Walsh and James Taylor. The greatest thing, the most fun was they would come in, the stars would come in, and they, for the most part, a lot of people would be, they'd be starstruck, but they wouldn't know what to expect. So they'd sit there and stare at Howard, and he wasn't the kind of guy that said, "Oh, and by the way, here's Fred and here's Jack." They'd walk in, he'd say, "Well, maybe say here's Robin over there," but he wouldn't introduce. It wasn't like a colloquial guy. So I would find out. I'd get Grillo or one of the guys to find out either where the manager's office was or where the guy's office was or how to get a hold of him, and I would send the Jackie stuff. Whether they were CDs or videos, whatever they were at the time, whatever joke crap I had, joke machines, whatever. And I sent them, and it happened at least 5 times.
Before they came in or after they came in?
No, after they came in, we wouldn't get introduced, but I sent all my stuff to Roger Daltrey, to Clarence Clemens, to Diamond Dave, Ben Halen. Peter Noon.
Yeah.
And they would get my stuff. And, of course, they love jokes. They're musicians. They love jokes. And by the time they came in, most of them came in again. By the time they came in again, they'd forget that they never met me. So they walk in and say, "Hi, Howard. Jackie. Hi, Jackie." People like, but I remember Roger Daltrey, I sent him my joke machine, which was full of filthy, filthy jokes. And I guess he used to play it when he's raising his salmon over in wherever in England. And Daltrey walked in, and the first thing out of his mouth, he looked at me and said, "I need more jokes. I need more tapes, mate." It's just wonderful, you know. And then I walked in, I walked out to take a leak during a break, and I came back in, and Howard's sitting there with his arms folded, with his snout, you know, pissed off. And Clarence Clemens is sitting there, and Howard goes, "Yeah, Clarence is telling me how after they lock up the bar at in Mill Valley, they sit around and play your CDs all night." And Clarence says, "Yeah, Jackie, you're the funniest guy in the world, man. You're so funny." And Howard's like, "You funny."